Shannon, for reading us that scripture and for praying for us. And April, for leading us in our worship on this, what is a very strange, I always find this particular Sunday very strange. We've finished our series last week about when we've looked at the whole subject of waiting. As we saw the people of Israel who were, maybe they'd even given up waiting for Jesus. And then when Jesus arrived, they didn't know what they got. And they missed the result of their waiting. And, you know, our lives have become very much dominated by waiting. As we have experienced, beginning in about March of last year, COVID-19, we've experienced 10 to 11 months of waiting for it to come to an end. We never anticipated that we would have that long of a wait. And I think that waiting has done some interesting things to our personal and interpersonal and even our national dynamics as we have waited and we continue to wait. The words unprecedented and unheard of have lost their impact because we've been saying them over and over again, that we have unparalleled circumstances. But now, you know, in a sense, they are paralleled and they are precedented, because lots of the things are sort of continuing to happen as we continue to wait. And so this strange Sunday, which sits in between Christmas and the New Year, is one when we get a very unique opportunity. We get a unique opportunity to look back and see what God has taught us, in a sense, in the course of the last year, which of course is very different than anything that he's taught us in years before, but also to look forward and say, what of the things that God has taught us last year, how will they enable us to face whatever we have to face in 2021? Because we don't know what we're going to have to face in 2021. We know it's going to be different in a way that we didn't know 2020 was going to be different. But we know this is going to be different. So how are we able to face the unknown of 2021? How can we learn to do that? Well, my sermon title for this year, I think, expresses clearly, and I hope by the end of this, our conversation together, you will understand why, some of the things that really represent the way in which God wants to change us, wants to equip us for what's to come. So that we fast and go slow. So every year at this time, we proclaim a fast. We have 21 days of prayer and fasting. We start each year with 21 days of prayer and fasting. We start them because we want to hear from God. We want to know, we want God to prepare us. We want to hear what he has in mind for us in the years to come. We want to know how he wants to change us. We want to know how he would have us to have us reach for the new year. Now, I would understand some of you saying to me, well, Jonathan, why on earth would we do it this year? I mean, haven't we spent 10 to 11 months fasting? Haven't we had to put up with going without all of the things that make us comfortable and we look forward to and all those? So haven't we been fasting for 11 months? Well, yes, we have been going without for the last 10 or 11 months. But I don't think that was fasting. Because you see, if you look in scripture, fasting was always called. People were called upon to fast. Yeah, we wrestled with all of the things that we couldn't do. And dare I say it, we complained about all of the things we couldn't do. But we didn't have a choice. Fasting is about choosing. And so as we begin this year with our call to 20, I think we've never needed to call upon God, to hear from God in a new way than ever, certainly in the years that we've been doing this 21 days of prayer and fasting. So I think it's very, very specific. References to fasting in Scripture are multiple. The word fasting occurs in Scripture 75 times. Two-thirds of them are in the Old Testament and a third of them in the New Testament. So they're spread right the way through Scripture. David fasted. Nehemiah fasted himself at the beginning of their, as they were beginning to, as he was seeking to go and ask the king if he came back to rebuild Jerusalem. David and Nehemiah fasted. And then he called upon the people to fast as the process went on. Esther fasted. She asked people to fast when she was going in to speak to the king, where she was risking her life. So she asked the people, she asked them to fast with her, to cry out to God for her protection. And of course, Jesus in Matthew 6 and verse 16 says this, and when you fast, don't make it obvious. So for Jesus, and therefore clearly for the Jewish community in at his time, fasting was a perfectly normal exercise. It was part of the rhythm of their Christian life, of their following life, of their following God. But fasting has somehow drifted completely out of most of our Christian practices. And that's why I think that we have really benefited year after year from a call to fast. But you see, I think one of the things that we really need to remember is that fasting is not a way to bribe God. Fasting is not a way to say, look, God, if we go without, you know, if we go without our chocolate, or we go without our television, or we go without, will you do this, this, and this? I think Isaiah makes it absolutely clear that God has no interest in fasting to get what we want. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 13, he says, stop bringing me your meaningless gifts. As for your celebrations of the new moon, the Sabbath, and your special days of fasting, they are sinful and false. I want no more of your pious messages. He's not interested in piety for piety's sake. And then in chapter, right at the other end of the book of Isaiah, he says this, I will tell you why I respond. It's because you are fasting to please yourselves. You're going through the motions, Isaiah 58, verse 5. You're going through the motions. What good is fasting when you keep on fighting and quarreling? This kind of fasting will never get you anywhere with me. So fasting is not a process by which we somehow get hold of God in a way that we can't do it otherwise. But fasting is a way in which we cry out to God and we say, look, please, I'm going to make space to hear from you. I really want to hear from you. I really want to know. I'm going to make extra space to hear from you. Lynn Babb, in her excellent book on fasting, which I really recommend, if you want to read a book with you, if you want to know more about fasting, Lynn Babb, B-A-A-B, her book on fasting is really excellent. She says this, fasting, God says, is meaningless unless it relates to a concern for God's priorities. And I think that's what we hear in Isaiah. So we're saying to God, we want to know, to hear, to understand your priorities. And as we come to God to fast and to pray, we're asking, what are your priorities, particularly in our case for New Life Christian Fellowship? What is the part that you have us to play in 2021? Because I think we struggled to play our part in 2020. But we want to know, God, are we willing to say, God, help us not to make the same mistakes we made last year. Help us to keep our eyes fixed on you. And the challenge is, will we make space? Will we make space to do that? Will we take action to remove distractions so that we can hear from God? And in order to, I want us just to look at one particular story, the one story that Shannon read for us just now. And it's the story of one of Israel's few good kings, a king called Jehoshaphat. I take every opportunity I can to preach about Jehoshaphat because I just like saying Jehoshaphat. But that's not why the reason why I chose this particular passage. It's a very interesting passage that I want us to look at, because Jehoshaphat calls upon the people to fast. Let's look at chapter 20. And at the beginning of chapter 20 and verse 1, it says this: after this, the armies of the Moabites, the Ammonites, and some of the Munites declared war on Jehoshaphat. So far as I know, he hadn't done anything to upset them, but people did that in those days. When they decided they were strong enough to take your territory, they declared war upon you. And Jehoshaphat, as it says in verse 3, because it was a vast army, Jehoshaphat was terrified by this. Why wouldn't he be terrified? Three or four nations got themselves together to invade the people of Israel. But here instantly, we see something interesting about Jehoshaphat, and I think about the way he approaches this situation. He says he begged the Lord for guidance. He doesn't say, Lord, take the people away. Lord, get rid of all these armies. He just says, Lord, what do you want me to do? Will you guide me? And he calls upon the people to fast with him. In other words, to take time out of their lives to listen for the voice of God. I think that the translation in the new, if you're looking at the New Living Translation, I don't think the translation there is helpful at all, because it actually uses the word, he says he also ordered everyone in Judah to fast. Now, I looked up the original word that's used, and it really doesn't have the sense of ordering people to do something. It has the sense of inviting them, asking them to do this with him. And I think that's what Jehoshaphat is doing. He's asking them. He's proclaiming a fast. He's asking them to join in with him. He's saying that we need to do this together. And so we say, we need to do this together. Because this isn't, because the challenge that's before us at New Life Christian Fellowship is not just a challenge that is there for each of us as individuals. It's a challenge for us as a community. And we struggle, given COVID-19 and however long it might last, to maintain the unity of our community in the bond of peace. How would you have us do that, Lord? How would you have us do that? How much do we want to know the answer to that question? How much are we prepared to make space to know the answer to that question? Well, and what Jehoshaphat does is he gathers the people together. He prays. Pretty good. You know, you're fasting and you're praying. Time and time again, the two are linked. And he begins by crying out and praising God for who he is. O Lord God of our ancestors, you alone are the God who is in heaven. And then he goes on in verse 9, he goes on to say, we can cry out to you to save us. You will hear us and rescue us. That's what you promised, God. That's what you promised. You promised that if we cried out to you, whenever we are faced with calamity, we can come and stand in your presence in the temple, in their case, where your name is honored. We can cry out to you, save us, and you will hear us and rescue us. And then he goes on to express so simply and so clearly exactly where he and the people are. verse 12. We are powerless against this mighty army that is about to attack us. We do not know what to do. But we're looking for you to help. Yes, he's already said that he'd really like God to stop the armies, but he then says we're powerless. We're not going to tell you what to do. We're going to ask you to do what we'd like you to do, i.e. stop the armies. But we're powerless and we don't know what to do. We want God to stop COVID-19 tomorrow. We want God to make the vaccine so powerful that it's wiped out and we never see it again. But the truth is, with all of the things going around us, we do not know what to do. And so we stand with the people of Israel and we do not know what to do. And God's response is really interesting. First of all, he says in verse 15, he says, don't be afraid. Surprise, surprise. He says that so many times in scripture, doesn't he? When we're in a place of confusion and fear, and he just says, don't be frightened. Don't be frightened. And then he reassures us that the battle is his. Verse 15, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle's not yours, but God's. Well, that's a relief, God, but the armies are still out there, and they're still waving their spears at us, and they, you know, all the time they're still there, it's a little scary. So what do you want us to do? Well, he tells us. He says, take your positions, stand still and watch the Lord's victory. That's verse 17 of chapter 20. Take your positions, whatever they may be, go and do and take your positions. And what happens? Verse 22. The very moment they began to sing, because they began, Jehoshaphat led them out in worship to God as they took their positions. The very moment he said, the people started fighting about amongst themselves. They didn't have to do anything. The people of Israel just watched as the armies that were just about to assault them annihilated themselves. They quarreled, they complained, they just wiped themselves out, and all the people of Israel had to do was to watch. Because, do you know, God produces miraculous solutions, unexpected solutions, but it's his battle and he does whatever he needs to do to win it. Now, sometimes when Israel was in these situations, he called them to fight. Other times he didn't, but the battle was always his. The battle was always, and as we sit here, looking out on 2021, whatever is going to happen, the battles are his. The battles are his. So let's be secure. As we seek God and we take up our positions, because we all have them, and we watch, the battle will be his. The battle will be his. And what goes on then? And then we see something so encouraging happen. We see on the fourth day they gathered in the Valley of Blessing, which got its name that day because the people praised and thanked God, and it's still known as the Valley of Blessing today. God not only deals with the enemy, he pours out his blessing upon them. And I believe God has those intents. I don't know what they're going to look like, but I believe God has that intent for us too. He will pour out his blessing upon us when we stand, watch, listen, and realize that whatever our part is, the battle's his. The victory will be his. And it doesn't finish there. at the end of the chapter, when all the surrounding kingdoms heard that the Lord himself had fought against the enemies of Israel, the fear of God came upon them. And so Jehoshaphat's kingdom was at peace, for his God had given him rest on every side. You see, people around see how God's people behave. And I believe that what we're being called upon to do, just as they were called upon to do, is to show a waiting and wondering world what it means to be part of God's victory. What it means to see what God will do in the situation that we face around us today. Now, true, you say to me, Jonathan, we haven't got many armies facing us. Well, you know, some people would say the North Koreans were hostile and whatever, but yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. We don't. But I would suggest to you that the social and political chaos that is part of our country, that's part of our world, that actually seems to dominate our world in different ways, in different places, but there is social and political chaos everywhere. And I would suggest to you that in global terms, that was an awful lot more scary and dangerous than a few armies. And that's what we're faced with. And you know, the scary thing is this. I don't think we have too many leaders who are willing to humble themselves and say, we do not know what to do. But I believe that even though we don't have leaders who are willing to humble themselves in that way, the church is called to do just that. The church is called, in our context, to say, Lord, we don't know what to do, but we want to know what you would like us to do. And so, I'm telling you this, as your pastor, that I and your elders are calling upon you to fast, just as Jehoshaphat called upon the people of Israel. I'm calling upon you to fast because I don't think it's ever been more important than it is today. Li Ling has worked extraordinarily hard, and there's some wonderful materials that will help you over these 21 days to learn more about what it is to hunger after God and to know what he wants. So I'm calling upon you to fast together. And there's nothing that's impressed me more in 2020 than the message that I think one of the primary messages that God has called upon us to do is to go slower. To slow down, to make enough space, to make enough time to hear from God. Because hearing from God's not easy. It isn't like picking up the phone. It isn't like reading the newspaper. It isn't even like reading a book. We need to take time to listen to God, and that takes a sacrifice. It takes a sacrifice to make that space. Are we willing to make that sacrifice to slow down and listen over these 21 days? Maybe that'll mean getting up earlier and sacrificing a few hours sleep, or going to bed a little bit earlier. Maybe it'll mean sacrificing your social media, sacrificing your television, or sacrificing a meal and taking that meal time to sit alone and listen. I don't know what it will mean for you, but I'm asking you, I'm calling upon you to find out, to ask God, and to plan for what he wants us to do. he wants you to do as part of what we do together in these 21 days. I urge you to download from our website or at the PDF of the material that we have prepared to help you do that. Now, I've said a number of times that although in scripture, fasting nearly always, if not always, has the implications of going without food. And we've said many times that that is not absolutely necessary. There are all sorts of things that are perhaps more time consuming for us, which if our priority is to find time and space to be with God, to listen to God, then there are other things that take up more time. However, I want to challenge you this week, this 21 days, to do at least one thing which will include abstaining from some food. And here's why. You see, we in America and most of the Western world have absolutely no idea what hunger is. We really don't. We think we get hungry, but really we don't know what it is to be hungry. We don't really know what it is to be thirsty. The thing about fasting from food is it gives us just a taste of what that feels like. And the scripture tells us that we should hunger and thirst for righteousness. If we don't know what hungering and thirsting means, how can we ever do that? So I'm encouraging you. You know, you obviously have to be very careful. I'm a type 2 diabetic, so to go completely without food is something which would be a very unwise for me to do. And if you're doing something which is stretching you, then make sure your doctor knows about it. But to go without a meal a day is not stretching, I don't think, anybody. Certainly doesn't stretch me. It doesn't medically stretch me. But I'm encouraging you because I don't know about you, but I want to know more about what it is to feel that I am desperate to know what God wants. I am hungry for more of God. I think I've been satisfied with too little for too long. I don't know about you, but I want us together to be a community that is hungering after God. That's going to be a focus for our 21 days. You'll find it's a focus in the material that Li Ling has prepared for us. And it's wonderful material. Again, I urge you, download it, plan, prepare. See, if you don't plan, it won't happen. I guarantee that. If you don't plan, it will slip away and it'll be the end of the 21 days before you know what's happened. And it will be there it'll be gone for another year. But if you plan because you want to know, you want to hear from God, I believe God, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. That's what he said to the Israelites. And I believe that he would say it to us too. If you will humble yourself, if you will pray, if you will sacrifice enough that's in a way that says, I'll do anything to hear from you, Lord. I believe he will speak to us. And we will understand a little bit more of what it means to know him and to be prepared for whatever he has for us in 2021. Not because we know what it is, not because we've got a good plan, but because we've got a wonderful, amazing, powerful God. And with the people of Israel, we'll take our stations. We all have them. Whatever you do, whatever the routine of your life, I believe that is where you take your station. That's where he's called you to. That's where he's positioned you. Take your stations with the people of Israel and watch and wait for what God calls us to do. Somebody reminded me this week that it's a little bit like the disciples who gathered in that upper room after Jesus had ascended. They didn't know what was going to happen. They knew that Jesus had said, I will pour out my spirit upon you. But they didn't know what that was going to look like. And it was a little bit scary. And we gather and go through this together, not physically gathering because we can't, but together we do something and we ask that once again, God will pour out his spirit upon us in order that we might not only see his victory, but that the world might see his victory in us, in Pacifica, in 2021. Are you up for that? Are you up for that? I hope you are. We're going to finish our service this morning with that song, Do It Again. We have seen God work, but we want him to do it again. Let's worship God together.
Yeah.
Father, we thank you. Although we haven't got walls to walk round, we have immense challenges before us. But we thank you that you have never failed us. You have never failed us yet, and you're never going to. And so, Lord, we cry out to you. As we have seen your victory, we've seen your transformation, we've seen your ability to change things, we've seen your ability to change our lives. We cry out to you and say, Lord, please don't let the night last too much longer. We trust your faithfulness. We ask that you will do it and do it again. Do it again in us and through us. And we ask all these things in the name of Jesus. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of God and fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us as we make space, as we plan to cry out to you, to hunger after you, to thirst after you. Be with us in the precious and holy name of Jesus. Amen. Well, please join us for our online fellowship in the next few minutes. As once again, as I've said before, if you've never done it before, this is a great day to do it, as we anticipate 2021. Or if you haven't come for a while, just drop in, say hello. It's quite acceptable to sit and eat your lunch while we're sharing together. It's a great time to get to see and speak with each other. I hope to see you there. If not, I'm looking forward to seeing you next week on January the 3rd, as we begin the actual 21 days. May God bless you, and I look forward to seeing you then.